Blog Talk Radio.
This is Rabble Rouser and Rich Bergeron.
Yo, this is Tornado, Tony Pennycow.
And tonight we're going to have a special guest on the Fight News Unlimited, Fights Talk Unlimited sports show. We have Luis Orlando Del Val, who is 10-0 as a featherweight, I believe. 8 knockouts, just beat a guy with 20 wins in four rounds with a knockout. Let's see. Yeah. Pascal Rouse, who was 20-14 with three draws. And he's fought most of his career, looks like, in New York. Fought one in Puerto Rico, a couple in Puerto Rico. One in Connecticut. One in Reading, Pennsylvania, second fight.
Yep, that's about an hour from me. I've actually gone to fight to the Sovereign Center. No doubt, playing on Reading for a town, about a good hour and a half outside of Philadelphia. It does have a heavy Puerto Rican population there. I had one of the fights in the Sovereign Center, and actually got to see a very young Kermit Cintron fight there about 8 years ago.
Nice.
So I know that's what they're doing there, is playing on the selling a lot of tickets to the Puerto Rican fans on that card.
Cool. Well, we got Orlando Del Valle. I also got the boxing schedule up here, and there's a pretty interesting fight going on up in Montreal, Quebec, connected to a couple of folks I interviewed a while back from Let's Get It On Promotions, the sons of Millsland, Terry and Tommy Lane, Lucian Butte versus Jesse Brinkley. What a chance.
That's right, this weekend, isn't it? Yeah, as you may guess, Brinkley is a huge underdog.
Yeah.
Here's where it gets interesting, Rich. I mean, Brinkley was a huge underdog in his fight against Curtis Showtime Stevens, to the point where it's like Stevens came out and boasted, I could see myself knocking Brinkley out in about 50 seconds. And in the first two punches of the fight, he cracked Brinkley square on the chin. Brinkley's eye, or square in the face, Brinkley's eye starts to swell up. And the announcer's saying, boy, and he's still got like 35 seconds to go. After he got past that 50-second mark, I don't think Stevens won another 5 seconds of that fight. And Brinkley beat the living shit out of him. It was hysterical. But Curtis Showtime Stevens is a good fighter. I don't think he's in Lucian PK's category. He's definitely he's a good fighter. Good fighter, he's got good power. Obviously he's favored to beat Brinkley. But hey, that's why they fight, man. Brinkley's definitely a good puncher, a lot of heart. He's gonna come out there to fight, he's gonna make PK work. So you never know. Nobody ever thought, Mike Weaver would have knocked out John Tate. And he did. Nobody, obviously Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson, I don't think it's that big of an underdog, but, that's why sometimes the little guys got to go out there and believe they're not little guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. Jesse Brinkley's been talking about trying to bring a title back to Nevada. Ironically enough, there's never been a major world champion from Nevada. Of course, there's fights that have been held in Nevada. Floyd Mayweather claims he's from Nevada, but he's like, he just lives there. But Jesse claims there's never been a real Nevada-born champion. So that's what he wants to do. He wants to bring a championship back to Nevada. And this is for the IBF Super Middleweight title, by the way. Lucian
is going to have.
And Lucian is defeated in 26 wins, 21 knockouts. And Brinkley has 5 losses on his record, including 2 by knockout, and 35 wins with 22 knockouts. And he's won all of his last 6 fights. So, hey, he's on the rise. We'll see. There's also a few interesting undercard fights here. We've got Adrian Diaconu, 26-2 with 15 knockouts at light heavyweight, fighting a 10-rounder against Omar Shika, who's 30-9 with 21 knockouts. And then we have a welterweight fight, 10-rounder between Ionut Dan Ion, who's 26-1 with 14 knockouts. And he's fighting Andre Pablo Villafane, who's 16-5 with 4 draws and 5 knockouts. And a couple interesting other undercard fights there, too, worth watching. That's going to be on Australia Main Event Television, if you have that.
I don't think
they're going to walk you. Yeah. They've got to be showing somewhere else, too. But also this weekend, Friday night, in Miami, Oklahoma, we have Antonio Tarver fighting at heavyweight.
Yeah, he's moving to heavyweight. I was reading that.
Fighting
he was joking around on one article I was reading, talking about his move up to heavyweight, and they're saying is he trying to play like the because they know that he was in Rocky Balboa, but like, is he the Rocky character now? The aging fighter coming back for one final, you know, hurrah against an undefeated Eastern European fighter, being a heavy underdog. Like, so, but hey, you gotta like a guy like Antonio. He's one of the good guys in the sport. You know, you don't know how much longer he's gonna be fighting now, but he's definitely had some good wars in his career. You know, has two wins over Roy Jones. But how about at the end of Jones' career? But I think he's most gonna be well known for that movie role.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's living it up now. And also on this card, we got Ronald Hearns, 25-1, 19 knockouts, fighting Robert Cleaver, who's 10-11, with two draws. Seems like a mismatch to me. Also, Anthony Durrell versus Daryl Salmon. Durrell is 19-0 with 16 knockouts. Salmon's 16-5 with 4 knockouts at super middleweight. That's an 8-round fight. Cruiserweights, Latif Kayod, who's 13-0, 12 knockouts, fighting Epifanio Mendoza, 30-9, with one draw and 26 knockouts. And then we got rounding it off at welterweight, a 10-round fight between Sean Porter, undefeated also, at 16-0. It's 12 knockouts, yes. And Hector Munoz, 18-3, all three by knockout losses, by the way. 11 knockouts of his own and one draw. And that's for the NABF welterweight title. And we haven't even got to Saturday. So, let's see. What else do we have? Richard Schaefer, Golden Boy Promotions, is putting on a card. It's going to be on Telefutura in California. Fantasy Springs Casino in Indio, California. Eloy Perez, 18-0 with 5 knockouts, is fighting Dominic Salcedo, 18-2 with 9 knockouts, 2 losses by knockout. That's for the WBO, NABO, Super Featherweight title. And we have heavyweights, 10-rounders, Seth Mitchell, 18-0 with 12 knockouts, versus Derek Brown, who's 13-5 with 11 knockouts, 3 draws. A lot of people who are undefeated fighting this weekend, it seems, so far.
Now, the key is, are they going to stay undefeated after this weekend?
Yeah.
Sometimes that has got to go.
I've only seen a couple of undefeated guys fighting each other, though, so far.
You know what, Rich? I was looking. I was out of the house for a little. I literally walked in just a matter of minutes, you know, before the show was going to start. And you know, you sent me the link to our guest tonight. And the first thing that caught my mind was, okay, Del Val. I said, you know, I got to see if there's any relation to Lou Del Val, who was former world light heavyweight champion. Also, you know, had a play with Roy Jones. It's the first guy to knock Roy Jones down. That was back in, I guess that was late 90s, maybe like 98, 99. So then I'm looking through his record, you know, undefeated, 10-0, 8 knockouts, you know, very impressive. And I go down to his first fight against Ray Rivera at Tropicana Hotel and Casino, Atlantic City. I look at the date on there, and it was April 11, 2008. The Rain Man part of my brain kicks in. I'm like, my wife will fight in Atlantic City, you know, early April in 2008 for the Margarito Cintron fight and the Codo Alfonso Gomez fight. I'm like, how awesome would it be if I covered this guy's pro debut? That'll make the interview right there. I pull up my that I wrote for that fight.
Yeah.
It was the night before the big HBO card was this card of the Tropicana. So, no, I did not cover the fighter that we will be talking to tonight.
Oh, well. What can you do?
Well, hey, but, you know, I'm looking at his record now, you know, just trying to look at some of the guys, see if I know any of them. I don't think I do, because, like I said, a lot of fights have been in New York or Puerto Rico. The fighter he fought out of Reading, I don't believe I know the name. Out of Philadelphia, he's 0-5. You fought Travis Thompson and Victor Vasquez. I know both of them.
Yeah.
I basically covered the guy he beat in his second fight. If that counts.
Alrighty.
Second fight. I guess maybe they suspended his license because he's 0-5 with all five losses by knockout. Only if he's gone with three rounds.
Well, over in Europe, it looks like we've got a couple big boxing matches going on this weekend. Russia and Poland. In Poland, we have Damian Jonak at light middleweight, 27-0, another undefeated guy. One draw, 19 knockouts, fighting Jose Luis Cruz, 41-6 with two draws and 33 knockouts. For the vacant WBC Baltic light middleweight title. Whoa, big stuff. And then we go to Russia, where Alexander Povetkin will be fighting at 19-0 with 14 knockouts at heavyweight, fighting TK Aru, 14-2 with one draw and six knockouts.
There's something that bothers me a little bit about Povetkin, to be totally honest. A couple of years ago, he fights Eddie Chambers, Philadelphia kid, for the chance to fight Vladimir Klitschko for the title. And Povetkin wins the decision. He beats Chambers. Wasn't the greatest fight in the world. I mean, Chambers was winning early, but Povetkin turned it around, wins the fight. So now he is the number one mandatory challenger, Vladimir Klitschko. Now, okay, granted he's going to be a heavy underdog. Povetkin is he's a decent puncher, but he's not great. He's not a big guy. He's not a physical guy. But, I mean, it's a chance to fight for the heavyweight championship of the world against the guy that's recognized by Ring Magazine as the heavyweight champion. He's yet to cash in on that opportunity. Now, he's fighting this weekend. Obviously, he's going to be safe. But say he gets knocked out. Now, where does he fall to? Say he comes back and loses his next fight. Now, he's totally screwed. You know, now, like, this multi-million-dollar chance he had, now he's fighting for, you know, peanuts on these cards. Perfect example I'm going to give you. This guy took the shot. He lost, and his career ended up floundering. I was just reading an article about him today, is Michael Grant, who actually lived in Norristown, about 20 minutes from where I live. And Michael Grant, I mean, everybody knows, yeah, the whole world on the shoulders back about 10, 11 years ago. You know, 6'7", 250 pounds, great athlete, you know, built like, you know, just a Greek god, you know, just muscles on muscles, just massive. And he had his first real test against Andrew Gallardo. And Gallardo dropped him twice and had him hurt pretty bad. And was way ahead on the cards, and then Grant landed a few shots, and Gallardo pulled a quit job in like the 10th round. Now, everybody that watched that fight would have known when Grant fights Lennox Lewis, if Gallardo had him on his ass like that, what the hell is Lennox Lewis going to do to him? Grant still took the fight because he knew, you know, hey, Gallardo put me on my ass, and damn near derailed my chances of, you know, ever being a champion, I can go into a fight against a relatively, quote-unquote, safe opponent and still get beat and still blow this pipe dream. Let me take the title shot and the money while I can get it. Yep, he got knocked out. And you're right, he was never a viable contender again, never fought for the title again. But you take a look at a guy like that, you just kind of knew. Watching that Gallardo fight, he was never going to be a world champion. You got to take that shot at the title because if you lose in a tune-up fight, you might never get out of the title, and that way you blow any chance of ever getting any money out of it.
Yeah, well, Povetkin, I think he fights a lot overseas anyway, too. You know? But
he does.
We also got a fight going on in super bantamweight fight in Silver Spurs Arena in Kissimmee, Florida on Saturday. Wilfredo Vasquez Jr., 19-0, fighting Ivan Hernandez, 28-4. That should be a good fight for the WBO super bantamweight title. And also on that card, a 12-round middleweight fight between Anthony Greenidge and Raul Caceres. Green Edge, I should say. 14-5, with 5 knockouts, 1 draw, and Caceres is 15-2 with 8 knockouts. And let's see. What else we have for Saturday? I don't suppose you watched the big MMA fight this last weekend, did you?
What do you say?
I don't think so.
I was in one house this weekend, Richard.
Well, oh, Saturday. Here's a mismatch of the week here in the female ranks. We have, looks like almost the whole female card here. Yeah. All female card over in Santa Ana Star Casino in New Mexico. We got 10-rounder, looks like 2-minute rounds, 10x2, super featherweights. Lindsay Garbott, who's 5-3 with 3 knockouts, fighting Melissa Hernandez, who's 13-2 with 4 knockouts and 2 draws. And this is for the vacant Global Boxing Union female super featherweight title and the vacant WIBA super featherweight title. And get this. This is the mismatch of the week here. Mia St. John, who is 45-11 with 18 knockouts, fighting at lightweight. She's got 2 draws. She's fighting Tammy Franks, who is 2-12 with 1 draw.
Oh, you said 2. I thought, for a minute, I thought you said 2-12 with 1 draw. I'm like, you mean
yeah.
She's had 2 wins, no losses, and 12 draws?
2-12. 2 wins, 12 draw. 12 losses, 1 draw. 2-12-1. She's 2-12-1. Fighting Mia St. John, who has 45 wins, 18 by way of knockout. Lucky it's only.
Yeah, how much does Mia have left now? I mean, she's in her 40s now. Been doing this for well over a decade now. So you just don't know how much she has left. I mean, obviously this is the fight that she should win, but I mean.
I guess you could say Belinda Laraquente is also on this card. She's got a record of 24-25 with 9 knockouts and 3 draws. Never been knocked out, though. 25 losses, never been knocked out.
Yeah, don't take her lightly. She's a tough cookie.
She's fighting Ashley Curry, who is 1-4 with 1 draw. And then there's also another kind of mismatch. Monica Lovato at super flyweight, 12-1 with 4 knockouts, fighting Kimberly Tomes, who's 0-5. And I think you just have a lot more mismatches in the women's divisions because there's just so few women to pick from. And it's just the fact of life there. But that's crazy. It's wild stuff.
A couple hours ago. I had to go to the dentist in between. But I got my Ring magazine, so I tried to, squeeze out a few pages before, getting on the show tonight to see if there's anything interesting to talk about. And, yeah, there's a couple very interesting things to talk about. One, they have I didn't get to read it yet, but the big article about the Pacquiao-Margarito fight. And they call Pacquiao the toughest congressman in the world. And I kind of find that misleading because, yes, Pacquiao is a tough little bugger, but depending on how the elections come out in a few weeks, the toughest congressman in the world might be John Runyon, the former Philadelphia Eagle at 6'7", 345 pounds, who's running for a Congress seat in the state of New Jersey. If I was in New Jersey, I'd vote for him. So I'd love to see him run out onto the Congress floor and tackle somebody talking shit.
Mm-hmm.
But they did a preview of the Pacquiao-Margarito fight, which I will be reading. And in Ring Magazine, the Bible of Boxing, had a big article on what?
Tony Pacquiao.
You got the first name right.
Oh, I don't know. That guy who you were just talking about.
No. John Runyon? No, the Bible of Boxing, Ring Magazine had a big article on mixed martial arts.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, well, we're talking about the Couture-James-Toney fight.
Oh.
And they showed a picture of, like, James Toney working out a little bit, and they showed, like, him at the weigh-in. They're like, and he just really disgraced himself. He disgraced the sport of boxing. You know, he just turned it into a whole big joke.
I didn't read the whole article. I will, you know. Honestly, I had to, you know, stop reading so I could come in here and, you know, get ready for the show.
Yeah, it's funny. There are a lot more boxers lately talking about going into MMA and kind of representing in some way. But and at the same time, it's kind of weird. Lately, a lot of the MMA events, the main events especially, have gone into complete slugfests. No on the ground whatsoever, very little on the ground action. It's mostly kickboxing. You know, the last few UFC cards, the card this past weekend even, we had Nick Diaz fighting Jake Shields. Not Jake Shields. Jake Shields is UFC. I can't think of the name right now. Jake Shields? I'm going to have to look it up now. Anyway, it was a pretty big fight. You know, we had the female fight on the card, too. Sarah Kaufman, she's undefeated, fighting Marlos Conan, who had a few losses, but she's got a hell of a lot more experience. And that fight kind of ended kind of weird. There was a armbar, but they were mostly slugging before that. And it just seems weird to me how a lot of the last few cards have been on the feet so long. You know, like they're purposely trying to get the crowd into it by not going to the ground too much, stopping the true action, I guess. I know, it's kind of weird. Let's check this out. Whoa. I don't know what that was.
Oh, what are we listening to music now?
Yeah, that's something crazy.
Are we jamming?
We were jamming.
I'll say.
For a second. KJ Nunes. That's who it was. KJ Nunes and Nick Diaz, they had a rematch. KJ Nunes won the first fight, and these two are very, very good boxers in their own sense. Nick used a little bit more funky movement, kind of like Roy Jones Jr. He kept his hands low a lot, and it was really one of the best boxing matches I've seen in a while in a cage. You would have loved it, Tony, if you liked MMA.
Really?
Yeah, you'd have been like, wow, this is boxing in a cage. And KJ Nunes has kind of a boxing style anyway, so... The big flaw in the fight is he didn't do enough head movement like he had done in the previous fight. And the analyst even said, you know, you got to do some head movement. You get the, put the head in there and figure it out. But Nick Diaz has been around a while. He's fought some crazy people. And he's in crazy shape. He does, like, triathlons on the side, too. So he just kind of won the day this time. And their last fight, they had... They had an incident at the end of it where I ragged on him so bad. You know, he got kicked out of the UFC not too long before that, and he goes over to the Strikeforce people, and he's flipping the camera off, you know, smacking the blood on his face and wiping it on the camera and just being a prick after the fight. And I had totally forgotten about it, and then they're talking about this rematch, and I go, well, I don't even remember the first one. And then they showed the footage, and I go, now I remember that fight. That was back in the early days when I first started watching, and they just picked him up. And so he's developed his game, and, you know, he's back. His brother's in the UFC, where he used to be. But he's one of the big stars of Strikeforce, and he's still the champion. He's the undisputed champion now, I guess. But they were talking about after the fact, you know, let's do a third one, and I was like, I don't think you need to. We'll see, though. Strikeforce has very few superstars. I mean, you got to bring a guy like Herschel Walker in. I mean, he's fighting in December. Not this last weekend, like I thought. Anyway, we also have a UFC fight this weekend. Should be pretty interesting.
We have what? Did you say
it
was UFC fight? Is that the Lesnar fight this
weekend? No. I think that's at the end of the month. This is a free one on Saturday.
I thought it was this week.
Bisping.
Yeah,
main event.
You have to pay attention to things in life.
this thing is the main event, which leads me to believe it's somewhere in the UK or Scotland or Ireland. It's, usually when they do it for free, it's over there. And usually when Bisping is the main event, it's over there. So we'll see what happens. But we'll get details on that later. We've got to get on the phone with Mr. Del Val, and you can ask him if he's related to Lee.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though. I like another thing. I got, give me a few seconds, Rich. I'm the old children here, I swear to God.
Funny guy. All right.
Hello.
Orlando.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. This is Rambo Rouse and Rich Bergeron. And we also have Tony the Tornado Pentacal on the line with us tonight.
Yo.
What's up, man? How's everything?
Great.
Doing good.
Good, good. Glad to hear you.
Well, we're just looking at your record here, and I noted earlier that you just had a big win against a guy who had 20 wins. Knocked him out in four rounds. You get a lot of knockouts for a light guy. What's your secret?
And what, training is the key, man. Hard work, dedication, staying focused, and you pull hard work in the gym, and victory like those ones is what you get.
All right. And do you have a favorite punch or anything?
I really I love the left hook to the body. I like to, I'm a body puncher, and I really love going down and work the body. It feels real good when you bring your opponent down to the body than with a regular punch in the face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
I like body too. I said there's nothing like, you break a guy down. Like, you can shake off a head shot, and body shots, it's like putting money in the bank every time you land one. And I always, we used to talk about the gym I trained in Philadelphia. It was almost like a badge of honor every time you hit a guy in the body and got him to say, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it and say, I just got you.
Yeah.
Just put one on the bank one.
Exactly. You hit them in the body and you can hear them when they even make a noise or you see the face when they just looking at you like they hurt and, That really lets you know that what you're doing is really working.
They give you that grimace. I love the grimace.
Yeah.
I was talking about it a few months ago on our show. We had a guy that was a sparring partner of mine. Well, actually, we trained together. The coach never really had a spar because he knew that he and I really didn't get along very well. And then he kind of pulled a fast one on me. And the coach found out about it, and he goes, okay. He goes, this is the opportunity you've been waiting for. I'm putting you in the ring with him. You want your revenge? You take it now. And I took him out that day with a body shot, purposely. Like, I was hitting him with some good left hooks to the head, but I didn't want to put full steam on him because I didn't want to knock him out with a head shot. I wanted to deal with a body shot because you're sitting there, and it's a great feeling to know that your opponent is on the ground and he's fully conscious and he's looking
at
you.
He's conscious.
And he's going to remember that. When he's on that canvas and they're going to say, hey, you want to spar with him again? I don't want to spar with him again because it's not like he had his bell rung. He remembered every excruciating second of it.
Yep, that's exactly. That's what I love working the body.
Yeah, and then once they get that hit, they start moving their face down closer to your punches.
Yep.
Start bending at the waist a little, trying to cover that body. And then just leave the head open. So, you fought a couple fights in Puerto Rico and then mostly in New York. So, are you a Yankees fan?
Yeah, definitely I am. I'm looking forward for for the junkie game against Texas. No, we're going to bet at all.
Well, we won't talk about the Red Sox then.
We are going to talk about the Phillies, though.
Yeah. Tell me if he's going to help the Phillies in the Yankees.
I'm a Philly guy. I can't help it. Born and bred.
So what's it like fighting in New York?
It feels great. You know, I love fighting in New York. Most of my amateur career I did it in New York. It was, you know, I moved to New York when I was 16 back in 2004, and I did, you know, almost all my amateur career, it was in New York. I did 3 years in Puerto Rico, but that was when I was a junior fighter. Once I turned open class fighter, I was already in New York, and I was fighting all over the country, overseas, and you know, I won the New York Golden Glove 3 times, and being in New York, it feels like being home also. So I love fighting in New York. I get a lot of support from the boxing fans, and you know, fighting in New York, like I say, is just like fighting home.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said you fought a lot at the B.B. King Blues Club. Man, that's an experience.
It's Times Square.
Yeah, I've never been there. I've been to New York a couple of times. Never been to the B.B. King Blues Club, I don't think. Must be a
It's a very nice arena. It's a small place. You know, you could fill up like about 800 people. It's in Times Square, like underground, but it gets packed. You know, I already fought there 3 times, and every time I have fought there, it's been full of capacity.
Oh, cool. Yeah, anytime you get to fight in New York City, it must be pretty special.
Yes.
Going to New York City is cool. Yeah, I've been there a couple times, and. Yeah, you know, it's always an experience just walking around sometimes. You know, once you see. It's a real people place.
Yep.
Anyway, getting back to boxing, how did you first get into boxing? Did you have any role models bringing you up or
I truly believe I was born a boxer. Ever since I remember, I always wanted to box, I always wanted to be a boxer. Every time I used to see boxing, stay watching. I used to tell my mother all the time I wanted to box. My father used to tell me, when you turn 10 years old, I'm gonna take you to a boxing gym. I remember I was 7, and every time I probably come, I used to turn, you know, another age, 8, 9. I used to tell my dad, you know, daddy, you know, in 2 years now. Hey, Dad, you know, next year you're taking me to a boxing gym. But when I turned 10 years old, my dad never took me to the gym. So I kind of, you know, was a little disappointed, and I started doing track and field and basketball. Till one day I was coming out from school, and on my way home I found a boxing gym. And ever since, I started going to the gym, and here I am right now, 10-0, 8 knockouts, and... You know, I've been fighting since 2000, so it's been 10 long years, and I've been doing this, and I always wanted to do it.
And I'm seeing here, just noticed that you fought Tom Atencio. Isn't he the guy that owned Affliction there?
I'm sorry?
Tom Atencio. Is that the same guy that tried to mix martial arts, the guy that owned the Affliction company?
Yep. I have no idea. I know that when I fought him, he was... up and coming, you know, he had a big name in Colorado where he was based from. You know, he won a couple of Golden Gloves over there, and he was 3-0. He was, you know, he was in Bibella.
Mm-hmm. Oop, where was he?
.com.
Well, up here for a second. Oh, we're back.
What did you feel?
We're back.
We're back. Okay, I'm back. I never left.
No, we're all back, right? Everybody there?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, we're all.
questions. I got a friend of mine, IM'd me. So I want to say hi to my good friend Gianna tonight. Hi, Gianna. How you doing out there? We going to a haunted house tomorrow night? I'm going to see if she IM'd me back, okay? All right. Proceed, Rich.
So I guess it's not the same Tommy Intensio, because the guy I'm thinking of is a lot older. But that's kind of a coincidence, I guess. Maybe it's his son. They got him into boxing. But what's your ultimate goal in boxing?
My goal?
Yeah.
Besides being a world champion, I want to, give back to the people. I really want to be a well-respected champion, and I want to be remembered as somebody that, cares for his people and always give back, because I'm a giving person. I like to help others, and I would like to, if everything comes out as planned, open up a charity program where we can help the hopeless. So that's one of my main goals.
All right, always like to help people get exposure who have good hearts like that. So more power to you there. Whatever you can give back, that's great. What's the big fight that you want right now? I mean, you just proved yourself really, really well against a guy that had 20 wins. Who in your division do you really want to go after right now?
In my division right now, the world champions are Juan Manuel Lopez, Yurioka Gamboa, Chris John, and Elio Rojas. Right now, I am in a developmental stage, and I'm just working, improving, and by the time I be ready to fight for a title, I believe they won't be there. They probably will move up, and if they stay in the same weight class, so I'm looking forward to fight any of them. I know I have the skill, I have the talent, I have the dedication, and by the time that I be ready, I won't have any doubt that I would take on any of them.
All right. You're Yorkis Gamboa too, huh?
Yeah.
He's a pretty rough. He's pretty scary so far, but I don't know.
Yeah, he can be beaten. Just like anybody else, man. He can be beaten.
Yeah. So, in the sport of boxing, do you have any role models out there or people that really?
Yes, I definitely do. Since I was little, growing up in Puerto Rico, and Felix Tito Trinidad, he was, when I started boxing, he was a big thing, and everybody loved him in Puerto Rico. And even though right now he's retired, Puerto Rico, everybody loves him, and the way he carried and represent Puerto Rico, it was, it was something that I always look up to. And not because everything that he did, but the way he carried himself outside the ring with everybody. He walks around and you tell him hi and he talks to you and he's very down to earth and very, very humble and he's like my role model in boxing. I grew up watching him fight and when I was a little kid, I would always say, I want to be like him. So he's my role model.
Yeah.
Good role model to have.
Yep.
Tommy Lee.
Oh, listen, man, he had a style that was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, he came out and he brought it every fight. So, I mean, and he sold a lot of tickets. He made a lot of money in his career, and that's always a good thing to aspire to, because you knew when he fought, you were going to get your money's worth, win or lose.
Now, Tony wanted to know if you're related to Lou DelVal.
No, I get that question a lot. People ask me if I'm related to Lou DelVal, but I'm not related to him. I'm actually related to former WBO bantamweight champion Rafael Del Valle from Puerto Rico. He's my cousin, and I am related to him,
uh-huh.
But not to Lou DelVal from New York.
Oh, there you go, Tony.
I had to ask. That's my journalistic integrity.
I'm sorry?
I said I had to ask. That's part of my journalistic integrity.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's all right. No problem with that.
In your career, is there anything that you would do that is, you know, the toughest thing you do to get ready for a fight, or the one thing that you do that you have to do every time you get ready for a fight?
The toughest thing to do in sport is waking up in the morning. That's the toughest stuff to do. You know, you gotta get up in the morning, get ready to sleep, and get out of the bed is like the toughest thing. Once you're up, you know, everything else is just, you know, part of the job. You know, training wise, I will say, you know, getting through the first couple of weeks of training. When, you know, when you fight, you know, you've been training for so long that you take a couple of weeks off. And then when you start getting ready for a fight, you know, you are sick again. So training-wise, getting back on that on track, on shape, you know, that's a little tough because, you know, when you're training, you really feel you out of shape and you know, you're not the same. And you're like, damn, I got tired and I got tired today in 50 minutes while I was running. And a few weeks ago, you was doing 40 minutes straight without stopping. You know,
yeah.
That's one of the hardest things to do. Also, you know, be passed through those first 2 weeks of training.
Yeah, I know. In boxing college, and you know, it was all about the workouts. We used to run 7 miles every week, once a week, 7 miles through the hills of Virginia. That's what got me in shape to go to the national championships. And I'll never forget the kind of workouts I did, just to lose weight, stay in shape, and, you know, just in preparation for nationals, too. We did different types of workouts. We did more sprints and long runs, so you could be ready for more than one fight in the weekend. But it was good type of stuff, and I can't imagine being a pro, you know, especially trying to keep your lightweight. I don't know how much it is, but
yep.
That's got to be rough at that weight. Who's your favorite boxer right now?
Oh, no. Right now, I don't have, like, any favorite boxer right now. I like to watch, you know, every other 140 pounders. You know, it's a very hot division, 126, 147, 54. I like to watch them. But, like, to give you right now a very favorite fighter like that right now, I don't have one.
All right. You're an equal opportunity fighter fan. Fight fan. You like them all.
Yeah.
All right. Looking back at your career, who would you say was the toughest kid you ever had to fight?
And in my pro career, honestly, my fourth fight, it was the toughest. I was only 3-0, and we took a fight in a higher weight class at 130 against a more experienced guy with 10 fights and with a winning record. The guy was 7-3 with 4 knockouts, and we went to his hometown to fight him in a place, you know, full. It was full capacity, and we got there, and you know, we had everything against us, and the guy was strong, the guy was good, you know, gave me, you know, he bring his A game to the table, and you know, I really, really had to work hard for me to get that win, and so far that was the toughest fight I had, and you know, I'm glad that I could say, you know, I came out with the win. We knocked him out in 5 rounds.
Oh, awesome. Giancarlo Padilla, right?
Giancarlo Padilla, yeah, man. He was tough. You know, I'm a 126 pounder, and we took the fight at 130. You know, I'm only 5'6". This guy is 5'8", but because of the fight, I guess he grew a couple of inches, because he was way taller than that.
Yeah. Wow. So guess what his record is now? He's 9-4. His last fight was in 2009, December of 2009, 9-4.
Yeah, I was the last guy that beat him, you know. After that, you know, he had fought twice, and he had won both of them fights, man. You know?
Yeah. That's pretty intense.
Sometimes, I mean, sometimes you'll match up against the style. It just gives you fits. I mean, there was one guy that I fought in the amateurs 3 times, and his style just gave, I mean, I knew guys that beat him. He was a tough kid. Don't get me wrong. He was tough. But something about his style just gave me fits. And the thing is, of everybody I usually fought, I was usually shorter than them. There was a few times I fought guys at comparable height. This is one of those times. I mean, the guy was about the same height as me. But for whatever reason, he just gave me trouble. And our last fight, we were 1-1, and we were going into the regional tournament. And the first fight we fought, and he had moved up to fight me. And then the second fight we fought, we were right around like 178. And we were 1-1 going into our third fight. And he had been down around like 172 going into the regionals, and he decided to drop down to 165. Me being the Einstein that I am, the coach decided, he asked me, I volunteered to do it, if I was willing to drop to 165. So the fight became more of a fight of who could make weight. I mean, I thought all I had to do was make weight, and he was just going to drop out. I think he was thinking the same thing. Well, I killed myself to do it, and then it came to the thing is, we both made weight, and we both had to fight. I don't think neither of us wanted to. And I was beating him again, and he scored a fluke knockdown with 10 seconds to go in the final round and won the decision and got himself the spot at Nationals. And then I ended up getting a spot also, thank God, a higher weight class. But that was the thing. His style, for whatever reason, gave me fits.
Yeah,
if I probably fought him, that would give me fits.
Yeah. Like they say, style makes sense. Sometimes, you know, a guy that you beat him, but you just can't beat him because, you know, yours. Style makes sense.
Yeah, my jab made my fights every time I fought.
Mm-hmm.
That was always my favorite punch. Although I always liked the left hook, too. Unfortunately, for my comeback, latest comeback try, I don't throw enough body shots like your favorites. my last sparring match, the coach told me to go for the body, and I tried to jab to the head all the time. You know, I just didn't feel like listening to a guy with 47 pro fights. That's what happens. You don't listen to people who've been there. But I broke my rib. Because the other guy did know how to punch in the body. So there you go.
I love punching the body.
Yeah, I got a new setup here. I just moved up to New Hampshire. And I kind of invented this timing heavy bag. It's like, I don't know if you've ever seen Orlando, one of those timing bags in the gym. Of course, you must have seen them. You know, they're almost at every boxing gym. There's a timing bag somewhere. And so I made one that's heavy. You know, it's got some weight to the body, and then it's got the headpiece, too. And it's like pretty much a hybrid between a heavy bag and a timing bag. So, of course, the body is the best target to go to. And, you know, so that's what I train on. And it's reflexive, you know, so it's not just like hitting a heavy bag that swings back at you real slow. Sometimes it comes back and, you know, tries to belly bump you. Pretty good little apparatus, but I always try to look for different things to develop different areas. And one thing that Tony allowed me to add to my game, because he introduced me to a certain fighter named Rocky Marciano. I don't know if you ever heard of him. you ever watch any of his fights, Orlando?
I'm sorry,
Rocky Marciano, do you ever watch any of his fights?
Actually, no. I saw a couple of like highlights of him on TV, but Yeah. So you have to turn through.
You said
life.
You're what? Five what?
5'6".
5'6", yeah. Rocky was about 5'9", and he was 185 pounds fighting as a heavyweight.
Yeah, I'm going to retire undefeated, though.
Yeah, yeah, and he body shots.
And I also know that he used to get beat in sparring all the time. They used to, you know, they used to say that in sparring he wasn't as good. But every time he used to step in the ring, when it was time to shine, he was a whole different person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so many people depended on him to win. I mean, people were betting their cars and their houses on him. He took the whole town to a different place. Just an amazing guy. But if you watch his style, I mean, if you really look at some of his best fights, you'll recognize how he used his height to his advantage. You know, a lot of guys, they're shorter than most, you know, depending on the weight. I mean, him being at heavyweight, he was really short, 5'9", 5'10", I think. And what he did was he used to fight low, kind of in a crouch, coming at people, you know, throwing those heavy-handed body shots. And if the body shots weren't there, he'd hit you in the arms, break your blood vessels in your arms, you know. And it's just one of the best styles I've ever seen that a lot of people forget to kind of bring into the other modern styles, you know. That is proven, you know, because the power punch, you can't really hit a guy that hard when you're punching down at him, if you think about it. You know, and he used to just... And you can fight up, you know, from Mike Tyson, the way he used to throw the left hook from the peekaboo style. You can always fight from springing up. But trying to punch down on somebody, different story. You can't really get the power that much. But that's one thing I learned from him. So try to adapt a little of that to my style. And all I got left is maybe a couple more amateur fights in my future. I'm getting a little too old at 33. Yeah, 10 years to catch up to me. Yeah, I know. So, you know, looking forward as your boxing career unfolds here. I already asked you what your ultimate goal in the sport is, but what do you love most about it? And why do you keep doing it every day, you know, as tough as it is as a sport?
I love the support I get from my family, my friends, and you know, right now I'm telling all, and I have all my friends, you know, I have a pretty good, you know, following around right now, and it is a great feeling when my fight is approaching, you know, all the support I get, and when I win, how they treat me, you know, it's just a great feeling knowing that when I step in the ring, I'm not only doing it for me. There's people behind me that also, you know, looking forward, and that basically is, you know, depending. You know, like they really want me to win, and it's something that I bring back to the ring every time, and winning every time that I win is just a great feeling, and something that there's no almost no words for me to explain, you know, how I feel, you know, when I win. So it's something that I love. I love how it feels, or, you know, I just want to keep doing it and keep feeling that way.
All right. Well, speaking of people who support you, is there anybody you want to give a shout-out to or say hello to before we close it up here?
Yeah, you know, I want to tell all the boxing fans and all my Puerto Rican people, you know, I'm doing this, you know, not only for me but for you guys, and you know, keep following my career. You know, my next fight will be on the 20th, Atlantic City, New Jersey, at the Boardwalk Hall, and I will be there, you know, doing, you know, the best thing that I know how to do, and that is boxing, and to bring fireworks to the ring every time I step in. So definitely, you know, keep track of me, because you will be excited and thrilled every time you see me fight.
All right. We love to get guys who are undefeated, you know, because then we can just be like, you know, when they 10 years later, when they're undefeated and undisputed champions of the world, we can always be like, yeah, we interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
No, we haven't even gone 10 years yet, but someday we will. And, you know, we get guys like you at this stage, and it's always interesting to to hear more about the up-and-coming new generation of boxers.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I really enjoy, and I've been doing this with Rich for almost 3 years now, and I noticed that we have, two categories of guests on the show, both in boxing and mixed martial arts. We get a lot of the real young and up-and-coming guys that are excited, you know. They want to get their name out there, and that's great because, hey, one of the things, I love the sport of boxing. I've been in boxing for about 17 years now almost, and I've been a fan of it since I was a little kid. And I want the sport to do well, and I want anybody that listens to the show, wherever they listen to, whether they're friends of mine or anybody that, you know, just picked us up on a blog talk radio, they say, you know what, hey, I listen to this kid, and I hear he's going to be fighting on ESPN. I want to watch him now. Or, hey, I hear he might be coming up in a card in my neighborhood. I want to see him fight now. And I think, all in all, it helps the young guys out. It helps the sport out. And that's part of my goal out here is to help the sport of boxing, a sport that I really love. So we get a lot of the young up-and-coming guys that want to talk about, you know, what goals are, what they're looking to do, and the guys that got them into the sport and the guys they idolize. The other category we get are guys that, I'm not saying past their prime, but mostly guys that have been retired, guys that are no longer fighting. Commentary guys like Vinny Pazienza for years was my idol, and we got him on the show. Guys like John Iceman Scully from Connecticut, even mixed martial art guys like Ken Shamrock, who's not doing much of the fighting anymore. Or even older guys like the Joey Giambers of the world, who was a world contender in the 50s, and those guys, because these are guys that, you know, are like more of the pioneers, the guys that have been there, the guys that have done that. And we like to talk to these guys about what it was like when they were fighting and then what they see in the game now and where it's going and what they think can help the game out and what they like, you know, some of the things going forward that they like. It's an interesting balance of the young and up-and-coming and the guys that have been there and done that.
Yep, definitely right.
All right, well, Orlando, we definitely thank you for coming on. And tell us a little bit more before you go about this fight on the 20th. Is that the 20th of October?
It's the 20th. November 20th, it will be on the Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City. It's a HBO card where it will be fighting Sergio Martinez versus Paul Wooden for the middleweight title, and I will be fighting on the undercard. And you know, it will be an exciting night for boxing. I'm looking forward to it, and you know, also for the boxing fans out there that, you know, they would like to stay in touch with me or talk to me, you know, personally, they can contact me through Facebook. You could go Facebook.com/OrlandoBoxing. I will be happily, you know, to add you and interact, you know, with all the boxing fans. So.
All right. And that's October or November 20th?
November 20th.
All right. I just want to make sure I'm there. I'm looking at October 20th at the Wednesday. I'm like, nah, I can't be.
And that's great. Anytime you can get a chance to fight on a big card like that, you know, anytime, even if you're on the non-televised portion of the show, anytime HBO is sinking money into a card, that's good for the fighters to get on that card, and that's well-deserving for you guys because it means you're making a little bit of extra money and you're getting to showcase yourself in front of a bigger audience. And, you know, to be on a card with
If you knock the guy out in one round, you know they're going to have time to show that highlight.
Exactly. The one thing I was going to say to you earlier, Orlando, when I was talking to Rich before we got up, he had sent me your BoxRec page. So the first thing I do is I, you know, jump on it, trying to figure out a few things, look at some of the guys you fought, see if I knew any of them or seen any of your fights. And I go to, and I'm looking at it, and Rich always calls me the Rain Man of boxing because I know too many obscure stats about the sport. And the first thing I see, your pro debut in Atlantic City on April of 2008. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, I went to a fight in Atlantic City in April 2008. I'm like, did I cover this guy in his first fight? I'm like, oh, how awesome would that be? Well, unfortunately, I went and covered the show the next night. the Miguel Cotto Alfonso Gomez fight.
I went to that fight before.
You seen Miguel?
It's true, you know. He fought in Atlantic City with Alfonso Gomez next day.
When I first moved up to this area I'm living now, and he never. Getting into it, and a few months later, he goes, I'd like to go to a pro fight. I said, okay, me and my dad go all the time. So a group of us all went down. I took this guy to his first pro fight. A few years later, he's like, yeah, he goes, you know, my mother-in-law, she goes to Atlantic City and gets complimentary tickets anytime there's a big fight card. Let me see what she can do for Cotto and Gomez. He got us, not ringside, but damn near close to ringside seats for that fight. And the one thing I remember, and I feel bad for Cotto now because I think that fight with Margarito, which I think was... but he looked good that night against Gomez. And I remember Gomez walked by us when he was leaving the arena. And I said, it looked like somebody put a tire pump in his mouth and blew his face up. It was so swollen.
Yeah. Cotto completely outclass him.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Margarito in this next fight. You know, I don't want to see him fighting personally, but it is what it is. He paid us $20, so Texas took him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been great having you on, and we look forward to watching you go up through the ranks, and more power to you. Keep doing your thing, keep bashing the body, and taking guys down. And we'll look forward to maybe seeing you on HBO this time, and definitely sometime in the future on HBO, Showtime, pay-per-view, wherever the major fights are. Maybe we get to fight in Vegas.
Definitely. Thank you for having me.
All right.
All right, no problem. You guys have a great night.
You too.
Good luck to you.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, Rich?
Yes.
Am I allowed to give another shout out, or did I use my quote up for the night?
Yeah, go ahead. It's your show, too.
Yes. I want to, I just got a very angry text message that I gave a shout out to Diana, and I did not give a shout out to Kathy. Kathy, what's up? How you doing? Shout out, we're live on the air right now. I'm saying a big yo to you. We're going to go out tomorrow night. We're going to hit a fight land. I'm going to smack the living hell out of your husband. I'm going to take Mike's head. I'm going to stick it in the toilet. And other than that, we're going to have a good time. And hopefully Johnny doesn't come, because God knows the beating I'll put down on him.
Whoa. Well, this Saturday is UFC 120. And it is Michael Bisping is the main event, as I said, and this is like, you know, you might be the Rain Man of boxing, but I'm kind of the unknown Rain Man of MMA sometimes, because I don't even know the full details, but I do know them, you know. Bisping is the main event, I knew that much, and it is in England, of course, London, England this time, at the O2 Arena, and it's Bisping versus Akiyama, Yoshihiro Akiyama, who, as you may know, is Japanese.
Oh, it is. I thought it was Irish.
But he looks like a pretty tough guy. I don't think I've ever really seen him fight too much. It sounds like he's one of the guys that came over from Pride or thereabouts. Also, of course, the other UK superstar, the number 4 welterweight in the UFC, Dan Hardy, is fighting Carlos Condit. He's been around for a while. This is a free card, too. For some reason, I still have never gotten a definitive answer on this, but I think it has something to do with the TV deals. UFC is always free when it's held in the UK. Always free. Always on Spike. And I think that's because it's just so easy to steal the stream from the UK TV station at all.
Oh, really?
I think it's called Satanta. It's like the biggest, one of the biggest stations in Europe, I think. It shows a lot of the soccer games and stuff. And it's just a huge sports channel. So they always get the feed, and maybe the UFC did some kind of deal with them where, you know, they get to charge for it over there, or they get to have their cable providers pay them to show it over there on that channel. And then Spike gets it for free over here. I don't know. There's got to be some kind of deal with that, because every single time it's ever been on the continent of the United Kingdom, I think, it's always free. So this is one of those things. But Carlos Condit is fighting Dan Hardy. John Hathaway fighting Mike Pyle. Czech Congo versus Travis Brown.
Gomer Pyle.
Gomer Pyle, yeah, like Gomer Pyle. Like tougher. James Wilkes, another Brit, fighting Claude Patrick. Cyril Diabate versus Alexander Gustafsson. Rob Broughton fighting Vinicius Capque de Queiroz. Steve Cantwell versus Stanislav Medkov. Paul Sass versus Mark Holst. Spencer Fisher, spinning around himself, fighting Kurt Warburton. Never even heard of that guy. Then we have another final British guy, James McSweeney, fighting Fabio. Fabio Maldonado.
Fabio?
Yeah.
Well, that's a doubt now.
Like a great name for a fighter.
We'll be going beyond hair. It's Fabio.
He won't even have any hair. That'll be funny. Fabio with no hair. But, yeah, that sounds like an interesting card. Nobody that really jumps out at me other than this thing. Though Dan Hardy's pretty cool. If he wasn't sponsored by Giants, he'd be cooler. let's see. That's pretty interesting. And then I believe it's the next UFC event the following weekend, or the 25th, 24th of the month. I'm going to have to go and check this out. That's,
well, if it's next weekend, it would be the 23rd, and then the weekend after that is the 30th. I know weekends in October because it's Halloween time, and I focus on everything. Oh, Rich, by the way, we got listeners tonight. You did not tell the costume that I told you last week when you guessed it live on the air, because these two that are listening have been trying to beat it out of me for the last week, and I won't tell them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I won't.
All right.
You won't pull it out of me.
Hey, Captain Fiona, ha, 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 ha. I told him, sure I am. I'm heckling people over the air.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, UFC 121 is going to be the following weekend, October 23rd, at the Honda Center in Anaheim, California, and that's the one with Brock Lesnar versus Cain Velasquez. And Jake Shields, the guy I tried to say was still with Strikeforce earlier. Brock Lesnar versus Cain Velasquez is the 23rd. And Jake Shields is fighting Martin Campman, number 6 welterweight, versus the number 8 pound for pound welterweight in the world, Jake Shields. Paulo Thiago is fighting Diego Sanchez. That should be pretty interesting. And get this. Tito Ortiz versus Matt Hamill. Brendan Schaub versus Gabriel Gonzaga. A Massachusetts guy there, Gabriel. He hangs out in my old stomping grounds. Court McGee, guy from The Ultimate Fighter, is fighting Ryan Jensen. Brendan Schaub is also from the heavyweight Ultimate Fighter there. Michael Diamond versus Daniel Roberts. Sam Stout versus Paul Taylor. Gilbert Uvell versus John Madsen. And Dongyi Young versus Chris Camozzi. A lot of Ultimate Fighter guys. This is like an Ultimate Fighter alumni card here, I guess. On the undercard. Tito Ortiz versus Matt Hamill, of course, I think will decide whether Chuck Liddell comes back. And Chuck Liddell was, interestingly enough, a guest appearance on the Ultimate Fighter show this past weekend, sporting his black eye remnants from the Rich Franklin fight where he got beat down the very end. You still with us, Tony?
I'm still with you.
I'm hearing a lot of rattles. What the heck are you doing?
It's called text messaging.
Oh, sounds like you're playing with tinfoil.
Tinfoil, huh? Nice.
Ammo is 9-2, and fighting Tito Ortiz. He's got a wrestling background. Tito does a little bit of wrestling and a lot of striking, but he's just coming off a big surgery, so we don't know how 100% he's going to be. Hamill's pretty tall, 6'2". His wins have been 6 by TKO, 2 decisions, 1 other.
Well, he won by an other, of course. Everybody wins by others.
This must be a submission, I mean, I guess. I don't know. But let's see. The only losses on his record are 2 Rich Franklin and Michael Bisping. And the Bisping one really wasn't a loss. You know, if you'd watched that fight, you'd agree with me. Bisping got his ass handed to him, and it was one of those fights where Bisping seems to only fight on his home turf, and it was in the UK, and they didn't want to upset the crowd, so to speak, I think, so they gave the decision, split decision, to Bisping over Hamill, and Hamill just outclassed him the whole fight. And if anything was closer than that, and it should have been given to Hamill, so literally, I think his only loss is to Rich Franklin, which came in the third round, too, and it was a TKO kick to the body, and as we know from watching Franklin, he can kick and punch with the best of them. That was back in 2008, and since then, he's beaten Keith Jardine, John Jones, Mark Nunez, Reese Andy, and that's it. So pretty interesting. This fight's going to be tough for Tito. I hope he loses, really. I hope he loses, because one of my articles on opposingviews.com says Tito, if he loses, will definitely fight Chuck Liddell in his next fight. They'll have to do it at that point, because Chuck, on his appearance of the Ultimate Fighter TV show, mentioned, you know, yeah, I'd like to come back and give it one more shot against him. He said the words flat out. And there was a point where he said, but they either cut him off or he just didn't, he wasn't allowed to finish because they kept asking questions. And so whatever but that was in his mind, I mean, I think if they dangled in front of him, he'll jump right back in there, you know, because he was saying, oh, there's nothing like that feeling. And he's like, I felt great before I got knocked out against Rich Franklin there. So I think you will see him back. It's probably in the contract somewhere that they have to fight if there's a window. And I don't think he was fully released from that. I don't think he officially retired. And Tito hasn't said flat out that he won't ever fight Chuck, from what I've seen, so I think you'll see it happen, especially if he loses to Matt Hamill, which is a very high possibility. So we'll see whether he's washed up or still hanging in there. But we'll have to wait till October 23rd for that one. At least you can see this weekend for free, even though I know you won't see it, Tony.
Oh, yeah, busy this weekend. You know that. There's a haunted house tomorrow night. And I got Phillies game 1 of the playoffs on Saturday night. And if I can somehow, by some miracle, swing ticket for that game, you know I'll be there, and I'll be rather intoxicated and rowdy.
All right.
Does that surprise you?
No.
Good. Oh, I'm also getting tatted again this weekend.
You're getting what?
Tattooed again this weekend.
Oh, jeez. I didn't even get my first tattoo. You're getting another one.
Well, I mean, I had 4, and a couple months ago I got number 4 redone. Now I'm getting number 3 redone. Numbers 1 and 2 are still fine because they're on my chest and my back and they haven't faded as bad. But numbers 3 and 4 definitely needed some rework. Then I can look at number 5.
I probably already told you my dream tattoo. I haven't even gotten an estimate yet, but I'd like a
a portrait of Roseanne?
No, a mongoose fighting a cobra. The mongoose is
nice.
Boxing gloves. because the cobra doesn't have arms.
Yeah, that kind of sucks for the damn cobra, doesn't it?
I saw a guy's boxing game. I'm not sure if I posted it on my blog. I think it was in like a fact sheet, but it was kind of funny. I saw a boxer's name today or yesterday, and his nickname was Choke in the fact sheet. That can only mean one thing in boxing, because you can't choke on MMA. So then I go back and look at it today. There's a different article about the same event. Lo and behold, it's Choko. Choko. So that must mean something else in some other language, because I don't think a boxer would ever intentionally nickname himself Choke. Unless he fouled a lot, like Foul Paul Gawada, as you mentioned.
Some of the things that I always found pretty amusing in boxing, when Mike Tyson was fighting, this was back in like the late 90s when he still had a little bit left, and he was fighting, I think it was Julius Francis, and everybody knew that he was just going to beat the hell out of Francis. So, and I think Francis would too. So Francis sold advertising, not like Bernard Hopkins on his back, and not like other fighters on their trunks. He sold the advertising on the bottom of his shoes. Because when he was flat on his back, that's what you were looking at, the bottom of his shoes.
Yeah, right. Nice.
I think that fight went all of two rounds, too. So, and he went down like four times. He had plenty of time to look at the bottom of his feet. And Francis trying to struggle up. But look at that beautiful, you know, advertisement for Corona beer on the bottom of his feet. So, another nickname that I personally like, the one that that girl Laura that I was training with, we had on as a guest that time, when I told her that you said her nickname should be the potato. The potato? Why the potato? This girl believed anything I would say. It was great. By the time I told her, why? You're going to grab that title and wait. 500. What no more? You don't hate me no more. But it's a bag. You can't talk. I said, you'll be here all night then, won't you? Channeling my inner Mickey Goldmills.
Here you go. Yeah, I need to channel my own motivator. Well, by my lonesome up here. There is a guy that's kind of like Mickey, though. He's up here. I interviewed him for The Citizen, the Laconia Citizen, when I was a reporter up here back in the day. Before UnlimitedFightNews.com even existed, it was even a fart in the wind of an idea.
Wow.
And his name is David Gates. And I boxed actually at his gym a couple times. It was kind of a rickety barn with slanted floors and a ring that had two mattresses taped to the wall as one of the corners. A lot of tough kids in there. You know, New Hampshire's like anywhere else. Kids can fight. Give them a chance. And I think he still does stuff around here, but I gotta search him out again. Figure out where he's at. It's not the same place. But, yeah, I definitely want to get back into it. My ankle's feeling a little better. Still kind of iffy. I don't know what, if ever, it's going to come back to, you know, full strength or not, but...
I started getting back in the gym myself, even now that I'm done with the dumbass schedule they had me working at work. I wasn't getting home so much, so like, you know, sometimes right at or a little sometimes even after 7 o'clock. Now I'm the type of guy when I work out, I get like really really hyped, and you know, get the songs up. So I really get into it. I mean, because if I'm half-assing it, it's not worth doing. So I really, you know, get a lot of adrenaline going, a lot of, you know, I really get myself pumped up. When I'm done, I can't sleep for a couple hours, you know. I'll go a while without sleeping. So if I start working out any time after 6 o'clock, I'm not going to bed until around or after midnight. And then you got to be up at 6 in the morning or 5:30 in the morning, and you're dragging the whole day. So now that I'm back to a normal schedule, I started working out again, and banging the bag a little bit, nothing too serious, because I want to, you know, make sure that my shoulder is completely healed up from throwing Mrs. Claus in the pile of snow last year at the tree lot.
shoulder was feeling better. It was feeling a lot better. And but a few weeks ago, we had some flooding in my basement, as I was telling you on the show, which was a major concern because that's where I got a lot of my electronics, my high-def TV, my stereo, you know, VCR DVD player, along with some of my boxing memorabilia framed hanging on the walls, the Marciano Walcott articles that that my grandfather cut out, the Marciano Walcott program. I lose them. I'm jumping off a bridge. I'm going to be so depressed. But we caught the flooding in time. We only got like an inch. We got the pump working. So now, right now, is we're just, you know, we still haven't put the floor mats down yet. So right now, we're just standing on cold concrete, and I really don't want anybody working out on that, just knowing how bad my knees are. I don't need to screw anybody else's knees up. But we want to get the mats laid back down. I got to start decorating for my Halloween party. So if anybody out there listening wants to help, the tornado can sure use a hand. I got to get the stuff ready for that. So I got to put all the mats back down. I got to make sure that everything's been like Lysol and disinfected, and so it doesn't smell like a basement when you're down there.
Yeah. Well, I just got all my boxing equipment squared away from my dad's place down the street here, and unfortunately, two of my heavy bags are sitting on the floor so long, weighing down my other heavy bag setup that they got huge holes in them. So we're gonna need new housing, but I got two good heavy bags. I got a whole heavy bag, speed bag set up. I got another speed bag. So eventually it's all going to get here set up. I'm going to be able to have my own boxing gym. It's going to be awesome. But, hey, we'll see what happens with the ankle. If it gets better, it gets better. If it doesn't, I'll still have boxing to work out with. It just won't be as flexible as I used to be, I guess. I won't throw a lot of left hooks anymore. I like the left hook too. Anyway. Hey, Singapore, going on tomorrow.
Oh, there you are. I thought I lost you for a minute.
Oh, yeah, we probably did.
Oh.
Anyway, we have some mixed martial arts fights coming up this weekend. We got Kansas City, Missouri, actually tonight. Bellator Fighting Championships 32. Amazon Fight 5 going on tomorrow in Para, Brazil. Martial Combat 11 in Singapore on Saturday. No, Friday. Let's see. Friday also we have a fight in Ecuador. Ecuador versus Peru. Bragging rights. Heat XC6 going on in Alberta, Canada. The Mayfield Inn Trade and Conference Center. And we got obviously fights in Japan on the 16th. We have Shooting Disco 13 in Tokyo. We got Martial Combat 12 also in Singapore and Santosa. So we got 11 and 12. Martial Combat. 12 is on Saturday. 11 is on Friday in Singapore. Bisping versus Akiyama, we mentioned. Let's see. We got Bacalod Brawl 2010 going on in the Philippines on the 16th, Saturday. The Nightmare Max FC 11 going on in Puerto Rico. Return of the Champions USA MMA on the 16th in Louisiana at the Cajun Dome in Lafayette, Louisiana. Mano a Mano 2 is going on in Brazil, minus Garas, I guess. I don't even know how to pronounce that. Gladiator Fighting Championship 2 is going on in Paraná, Brazil. Also Saturday, Curitiba versus Belém, GFC in Curitiba, Paraná, Brazil. Curitiba. Fight Festival 28, FF 28, going on in Helsinki, Uusimaa, Finland. World Series first round, UG, is going on in the Netherlands, Saturday. North Coast Showdown 7 is going on at the arena in Streetsboro, Ohio, in the United States. Of course, Proving Ground, EAMMA 6 from Tuffley Park in Florence, Kentucky on Saturday. And then Brazil 19 on Sunday from Rio de Janeiro. And then we also have a fight on the 17th. Actually, yes, 17th is Sunday. The Hall of Championships Gym, Long Beach, California. Long Beach Fight Night 10. And we don't have a fight until the 21st, which is next Thursday. So that's your MMA schedule. We've run down the boxing schedule already. Let's see what else we got for big boxing and MMA news going on. You got anything on your mind there, Tony?
Well, my mind is perpetually blank. You know that. Like I said, there's a few things in the latest Ring magazine that I'm going to want to go over. I just haven't had a chance to really read much into it yet. I just got it, you know, when I got home at around 6-something tonight, and we're on the air at 8. So I don't want to cram too much knowledge into my brain before we got on the air. I like to keep it as, you know, empty as possible. That way I can go freely with my Rain Man facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rain Man was really a retard, right?
No, he was autistic.
I'm quoting The Hangover, Rich.
Yeah. I haven't seen The Hangover. I've yet to see that.
Oh, Jesus God. You got to see The Hangover. It's classic.
I know. Someday.
My one friend wants to dress up as Alan the Fat Guy. He's already got the body shape. Now he's just got to grow the beard. That's really all he's got to do. He's got the costume done.
Well, we have a couple stories here. We're talking about Herschel Walker thinks that mixed martial arts is safer than the NFL, Gordon.
You know, honestly, I can believe that.
Interestingly enough.
And you know why? I mean, I played football for 4 years. My fourth year that I sat out in this year, I had some knee problems that actually ended up leading me to surgery a couple years later from damage that was done in a practice the year before. But you look at it this way, Rich. Okay, and I'm going to talk about boxing and both mixed martial arts. Okay, in boxing, yes, you do have a rash of people dying. You do have tragedy in the ring. Francisco Rodriguez last year, Dooku Kim, when Gabriel Wallace fought Jimmy Garcia. You are going to have deaths in the sport. It happens. You're going to have guys like Joe McClellan, the guys like that that have severe brain injuries. But you take a look at a sport like football, okay? In a boxing ring and a mixed martial arts ring, it's one-on-one. And for the most part, you know where you're getting hit from and you know who's hitting you. In a football game, you're a running back. You go blasting through that hole and, defensive lineman grabs you around the legs and you're tripping. And here comes the linebacker that clobbers you from the back. Whack it. Boom. Your knee gets blown out. You get a guy, you go in over the middle, you catch a pass. Safety comes in, leaving with his helmet, helmet-to-helmet contact. Yeah, they're trying to outlaw that and downplay that, but you know what? It still happens. So you get a guy basically being carted off the field with his brain scrambled. You take a look at a guy who plays for the Eagles, Andre Waters, okay? Andre Waters is a tremendous player, but from the number of concussions that he had during his career, he ended up committing suicide about 4 or 5 years ago because they said he had the brain of, like, a 90-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, okay.